And welcome back to Mugs in the Morning, 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. A big shout out to City Councilman Ty Lucas. Appreciate him taking some time for us in the studio today. Always good to talk to Ty, one of our younger members of the North Platte City Council. And
One of the more active and more talkative members, too. And
he is.
And he kind of takes a broad approach and tries to come at things from an even-handed position. And, appreciate him.
Absolutely. Appreciate him taking some time for us here in the studio this morning. Changing gears as we have Doug joining us here in the studio. Doug, a hydrologist with the University of Nebraska Extension Office here just south of North Platte. Doug, we appreciate you taking some time for us today.
Good morning.
Now, Doug, you were talking off the air a moment ago. You've been working from home a little bit here throughout the coronavirus outbreak, huh?
Yeah. So with the virus, as many of you may know, the university actually locked down for a little while and had nothing but essential operations. And here in North Platte, that really meant the farm operation had to keep going and whatnot. Folks who with research programs, they shut most of that down, including mine.
Mm-hmm.
My research is really related to stream groundwater interaction, and it's a automated network of sensors that I have deployed. So that's pretty simple. You just don't visit as often, you don't maintain those sensors as often, and whatnot. But
sure.
So I've been stuck in my basement at home, and having just recently bought a house outside of town, you get to kind of thinking and looking around at things that need to be done at home. And I know that's a problem many listeners have is the honey-do list is always longer than it can be, and it occurred to me that there's a lot of things in being a rural homeowner that really relate to geology, the earth and earth processes, and then hydrogeology with the water and the flux and whatnot that goes along with that. So now being responsible for my own water utility and indoor air quality and things like that, it was an interesting kind of experience to take note of some of those things that you have to do when you're a rural homeowner. So I thought that maybe we'd like to talk about that this morning.
Let's start off with the water supply. Obviously, we've heard about the great well water. I personally don't have well waters. I have a house in town, but my grandparents do, and my goodness, the quality is outstanding. But obviously, there's a lot of maintenance that goes into play with that too.
Sure, in most rural homeowners are on a well, and you know where it is on the ground, and that the driller came out and dug a hole and said we can get good water here, and good water means enough of it for one, a quantity of it. And then your local drillers really know where the water quality issues are, whether you're in the valley or whether you're up in the dunes north of town. And the sand hills are really renowned for their good water quality.
Oh, yeah.
I happen to be south of the valley, and the water quality is just a little bit different. We actually tested our water to understand. So we've got a little bit of hardness, and we got a little bit of nitrate. We're still below the M, so we're okay to drink it. But we do have to treat that hardness, and we have a we actually installed a chelating softener, which is a little different than a salt-based softener. The salt-based softener, as you know, discharges a brine, salt brine, when it back flushes, and we didn't want that salt brine going into our septic tank, which brings you to the wastewater side of your utility as well that landowners have to, or that small acreage and rural land homeowners have to deal with. So we did a little bit different thing. Those aren't real common right just yet. They're a fairly new technology. Well, the technology's not really new. It's scaled down to commercial and homeowner size now that where it's affordable. So
okay.
You're talking about a water softening process. It has to do with chelation?
Yes, it does have to do with chelation. So it adds, and I forget the exact acid in there, but it's like a citric acid type of thing that actually binds to the calcium and magnesium and whatnot that's in the water, and it encapsulates it so that it doesn't deposit on your fixtures and things like that.
No.
It stays in the water. And those are minerals that are really good for you to drink, so it doesn't actually remove those beneficial minerals from your water. So it has some health benefit too, and then it doesn't put that salt in your in your waste stream.
Doesn't build up in your stuff too, right?
It doesn't build up on your fixtures. I'm still waiting to see the benefits with respect to the fixtures. We had quite a bit of buildup on our fixtures when we moved in, so we'll see how that works in the long
time.
It might take some time, yeah.
So now moving into the wastewater here, obviously when you're living in the city, you're able to utilize the great resources with the city, but when you're living outside that city limits on your own septic tank, and that maintenance is extremely critical as well.
Yeah, and actually there's a little bit of a funny story. We had some folks over not too long ago, and the plumbing started gurgling and draining kind of funny, and we said, oh, well, gosh, what's going on? And got to looking, and the clean out for the septic was overflowing, and we were backing up water into the drain pipes in the house. We actually have a lift pump in the basement that thankfully has a check valve on it, so we didn't back up our septic tank water into our basement. So those sorts of design issues are important as well. So we had this problem where we backed up the septic and we had to call a plumber, the septic tank pumping on the weekend and whatnot. Got a guy came out, bless his heart, at 10 p.m. on a Saturday night.
Oh man.
Whatever. So
that's
we
dedication.
We got it taken care of right away, and that was a good thing to do. But with that septic, you know, we had the inflow to our septic tank had actually plugged up, just the pipe going into the tank. Mm. And once we got that cleaned out, it went back to functioning very well, and we took the opportunity just to pump out the whole septic tank and kind of start over with it and whatnot. So with that septic, you may or may not, and many of your, if you have only a septic, you might just fill your septic and then have the pumper come and pump it. Most systems have a septic and a drain field where it will distill or decant some of the effluent off of that and distribute that liquid back into the ground, so it spreads it out over a certain area so that can percolate back into the ground. And if you have enough unsaturated zone, the movement of the effluent through the ground actually acts like a treatment filter. It filters and it biodegrades the nitrates and whatnot that are in that effluent, and it actually, by design, it should be drinking water quality by the time it gets back to the groundwater.
Okay.
Hmm. So.
Now, again, we have Doug joining us here from the University of Nebraska Research Center here just south of North Platte. We're talking about some of the upkeep that our rural homeowners have to do, that sometimes if you're not doing that upkeep or if you've not had that home out in the rural areas, you forget about sometimes. It can be forgotten about if you don't have to do it. And obviously, even if you do have that rural home, sometimes you forget, oh, I need to be doing this. I need to be keeping up to date on this.
Yeah, it's a really good idea to understand kind of what your well, the construction of your well, and I can certainly help people look those up. If your well is registered with the state, they have a whole record on it in the file. Anything that's new has to be registered. Some of the older wells may not be. And then understanding that with respect to the nearby wells, if you do have some wells nearby, small acreages where I live, so my neighbors do have wells, and I went and looked at all the wells in my neighborhood to see what they look like, and they all have some similarities, but they can all be a little bit different too.
I'm sure the neighborhood was glad that you moved in.
Well, we'll see. I'm informing them of things that we ought to be doing as a neighborhood and as a community, and some of those things are some of those things cost a little bit of money, and you always have to weigh the benefits with the costs and when you can do it and those sorts of things. So it's been good. I've got terrific neighbors in my neighborhood, so they're listening and whatnot, and whether we do some things like that or whatever, at least I will understand what's going on in the neighborhood. And one of my neighbors actually has a geothermal heat pump, so
okay.
they have wells in the ground that are just heat exchanger wells, and they actually get their heat from the ground and their cooling from the ground, which is a really terrific way to go. I'd like to do that, but my finances are such that that's a pretty big ticket item and whatnot. If you can do that, it's a terrific thing. And I guess we'll just stick with our heat exchanger for now. So
now, Doug, we do have to wrap up here in a moment, but one thing that all homeowners should be aware of, and anybody that lives in a home too, is that indoor air quality.
Yeah, so one of the things that if you own a home that has if you own a home, you should really test for radon. Radon is an indoor air quality issue. It's a cause for lung cancer. And it can pose a danger to a homeowner. I had a house in town before I moved outside of town. The house in town had a little bit of radon. It was kind of at the right around the action level that they recommend putting in a system. The house out in the that we bought on the acreage actually is in a position where I didn't think there would be radon, but we actually had more radon. So we have a radon mitigation system that we installed. So if you have a basement and you're using that basement, you really should do a radon test. And you will not know that you have or don't have radon unless you test. It's odorless, it's tasteless, it's colorless. You cannot see it or sense it. So you have to do that test, and you really can't know whether it occurs at your house or not. And it's really ubiquitous across Nebraska. There are some Sand Hills counties that don't tend to have it as much as the rest of the state, but across the rest of the state, it's really widespread. And I believe more than half the tests that are done in the state come back with some level of radon in them. So
how do you test?
There's a number of different ways. They have these packets you can order online. It's a little like charcoal kind of packet thing that you'll hang in a closed room for a couple of weeks, and then you mail it off. They have mail order ones, or you can call a radon service, testing service, and they'll come out with a continuous monitor that will take an hourly reading for 2 days or 3 days or something. I think it's a 48-hour test, and then they create a graph of that to and calculate some averages and whatnot and provide a recommendation to you.
Okay.
We did the envelope-based test for our place in town. We did the 48-hour test for the place when we moved outside of town. So the 48-hour test gets your result much, much quicker.
Sure.
Gets you a much faster answer. Gets you probably a more accurate result than the short-term envelope test. They do have some tests that you can hang it for a half a year, and that gets a little better, kind of an average sort of situation. So
now, Doug, we do need to wrap up, but if folks want to get additional information about anything we've discussed this morning, or maybe they need advice on how to conduct some of these tests or investigations on their own property, how can they get in contact with you and learn more?
So the best thing to do is to send me an email, an electronic mail. That's dhallum2@unl.edu. dhallum2@unl.edu.
Awesome. And we do have that email here at the studio too, folks, so if you didn't grab a pen quick enough to write that down, you just call the studio and we'd be more than happy to pass that on. Doug, we appreciate you taking some time for us this morning coming in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
We'll have more coming up with George Lobby, editor of the Northside Bulletin, after a check of news.